And what we're going to do now is just ask all of our youth and youth leaders to come on up here. And I'm going to read this verse as they come up. It says, I will tell everyone about your righteousness. All day long I will proclaim your saving power, for I am overwhelmed by how much you have done for me. I will praise your mighty deeds, O sovereign Lord. I will tell everyone that you alone are just and good. And that's really what this time each year is we have a chance to let our kids share a little bit in their hearts about what God has done in their lives. And, you know, as I watched that video, that's the first time I saw it because Matt brought it to me at 9 o'clock this morning to digitize it and put it on. But it just caught my attention when that one kid said, and I can't remember who it was, but they said, what was the best thing about student life camp? Well, I sat with someone else, and I heard them tell the story of how God had moved in their lives. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? And I think that's the heart God wants us to have. Well, I'm just going to turn things over to Jonathan here, and I'm going to give him this microphone to pass as it goes. But
I guess I should just use this one then, huh? What an awesome time it was. It always is. And first, before we get started in this, we just want to stop and thank God. But thank you guys to the ones that sponsored kids to go, the ones that paid for your own kids to go, and the ones that faithfully prayed for these guys. We felt that, and we needed that, and we appreciate that. So we want to give you guys a round of applause. Thank you. It being my, today is actually the end of my second week, so what a way to start, huh? You get 65 people together and go spend a weekend in the woods. It was great. We knew it was a great trip. It started out great. When you go to CC's with 63 people and leave with 65, that's always a success. The reason being we met two up there, but it was great. It was wonderful. It was a great start. I mean, even just that far into the trip, an hour away from here, leaving there understanding that, and these kids have a respect for who the body is, who Christ is, and who we are as a church, that, man, I didn't have to call anybody down except for a couple of leaders, and but it was a blessing. Bill spoke this week on God's love for us, and then how in turn we respond and how much we love God and how we show God we love him. As you saw the picture on the chair there, that was just as scary as it was in the picture being there. He was representing what it was like to be on a cross and how Christ died for us. But as we go through the week, we do. We just connect. We bond. We're all there. We spoke this morning about our purpose being there is just to focus on connecting with God and the way we do that through others. And it's encouraging when we're all there with the same heart and the same purpose. And it's just like a broader representation of what we do here. And we thank you guys for modeling that for us, that we can go and spend a weekend doing that. And it's just great things happen. And we got a few guys that want to share, that we encourage them to share, I guess would be a better way of putting it. But anybody that wants to start, anybody at all? Anybody that wore their T-shirt today? This is Jacob.
Hello. So this weekend, I went into it in kind of a bad place of just like, I don't know if I'm able to do this this weekend. I'm just kind of down with my faith right now. And then once I got up there, it was really cool to go up there and play guitar and just worship with everybody. But I think it was the third time we played, my amp blew out. And I just went on this tirade with the whole practice and was just extremely upset the whole time. And then Jonathan stopped us and just said, let's actually come before the Lord here and just take this time to actually figure out what we can do in this situation. And we spent the whole practice praying. And once we were done, we ended up getting something together, and it was the best, I think, the worship's ever been for any winter retreat we ever had. That was a big part of it, and another part was I've always been kind of skeptical. Sorry, all the kids. I've always been kind of skeptical of how the youth is going to turn out. But after this weekend, I can say I'm extremely proud of every single one of these kids. And a big part of it for me was I don't think a lot of them understand how influential and how much they can help somebody out. You probably saw all those mailboxes up there with people's names. We had this thing where we had people write notes to whoever, and then they put it in their mailbox, and whenever part of the day they could come get the notes. The first one I got was from Allie Hughes, who I maybe have said a hi to one time. And I loved every single note I got, but this one meant so much to me because it's just someone I don't talk to. It says, Jacob, you were such a great worshiper, and you set a great example. You're so awesome, Allie. Just brought me to tears in my room that night. It's just fantastic to me. Like, and that's one thing I want to tell these kids back here. If you think you can't influence somebody who's older than you, or you feel like you won't be able to set any kind of example, here's a good example of what you can do to make someone's day the best day.
Thanks, Jacob. I don't know if you guys caught that, but what he was saying, he was skeptical of this group. He came up through the youth, and they had a great group of just a band of brothers, really, that were good at keeping each other encouraged and spurring them on to good works and good deeds. And they actually came back and served this trip. But he was saying he was skeptical of that could be recreated. And it's not going to be recreated exactly the same because it's a different group of kids. But he saw in each and every one of them just a confidence and a love for Christ, and he was encouraged by that. So anybody else? Victoria, come on up. Well, that's the two that forgot T-shirts today. That's awesome. We'll start you out of the way.
Whoops. Well, I talk a lot, so y'all probably, like, tired of hearing my voice, but that's cool. This weekend, like, before we got there, like 5 minutes before, I was already missing my phone, and it took me a while to get through my thick skull that it's not about a hot shower, a comfortable bed, and my phone. It's about God and learning more about Him. And I don't know, it's just, I had more to say, but I forgot what I was about to say, and that's not the order I was going to say it. I'm trying to remember, but it's not really coming to me. I can't remember.
Sit down and we'll think about it, and we'll come back to you. Anybody else? Lauren, you'd love to? Great. I was looking at you.
I was afraid I wouldn't be able to get back up without hurting anybody. I had thought about what I was going to say probably for this whole week since Jonathan texted me, and I was hoping that God would give me the words, and I'm sure he has, but I was very conflicted about what I was going to say, and I had thought about different things, but I just think God has put on my heart that everyone here has come into this with maybe not that good of impressions. I went into winter retreat thinking that my relationship with God was going to be perfect when I got home, and that wasn't the case, but what did happen was that God had revealed to me some ways that I could strengthen my relationship with him, and he convicted me of some things that I needed to change. And one thing I was reading in James last night, it was how I need to put God before the world. I've been putting the world first for probably a year and a half. I haven't been in the best relationship with God for that long, and it was very hard for me to think about that because I have my friends, I have my phone, I have all these other things that I put before my intimate relationship with him. We went on, we did a quiet time, and I kind of stood out the door. They said, okay, go do your quiet time. And I stood out the door. I was like, how in the world do I do a quiet time? I had never done one before. But I sat down and I opened my little devotional and I just prayed. I was like, God, help me. I want an intimate relationship with you. I don't want to worship you in church and not anytime else. I want something that is real, something that is emotional between us. And so that's just something that I need to work on, reading my Bible and praying and making sure that I put him above all else.
How many of you guys can say that? That's truth for me. You know, I need to work on my quiet time and reading and connecting with God. So thank you for sharing that. Is there Shada, come on up. And then Aaron, I saw your hand up, so you can come up after Shada. Thanks.
Okay, so like when we got into small group one morning, like we just weren't prepared for the day. I'm ratting you out, Tom. But instead we started talking about stuff that seemed more important at the time. And like I had learned that not only is it good to sometimes just go away from that natural, just original plan and focus on what's more important at the time, but it like I learned the true importance of like quiet time. And through the week, like I found different times during the day to just have a quiet time, and my day has been like super like amazing after having that quiet time. So quiet time is like very important.
Awesome. This is, come on up, Aaron. This is encouraging for me to hear this, because that was my biggest failure this weekend by far, was being in charge and taking charge of quiet time and sort of setting up the structure of that. That's probably the biggest thing I learned, was like, I need to be on top of that. I need to get others involved in that and make it happen. Because when you have a mixture of you know, from 12th graders down to 11-year-olds, there's going to be some that are know a little bit more about what a quiet time is. When you look at scheduling, there's 30 minutes to do that, and 5 minutes later, the 11-year-olds are back in the Gaga court doing their quiet time there with the ball. It's not quite as effective, but that's encouraging for me to hear that God works through our brokenness and our weakness. So,
As we were at Winter Retreat, the Lord started convicting me about this hate I had in my heart towards a certain situation. And I was trying to do my devotion, like it was so hard to focus on God and just pray to Him. And I kept asking Him to just fill my heart with love and get rid of that hate. And He did, which is pretty awesome. So you can't really serve God while you have a lot of anger and hate built up in your heart, and it just doesn't work. Yeah.
Thanks, Aaron. Anybody else? You want a high five, or you want to speak?
Come on up. I want to do. I don't know what I'm gonna say, but I just felt like I should say something. I am a very worldly person, and this weekend I realized that I don't want to be that way anymore. And the other night I was talking to my dad, and we were just, you know, talking about stuff and how this weekend has changed me. And I told him that I realized this weekend that I wanted to be closer to God and that I wanted to read my Bible more. So I have decided that my goal for this year is to read through the entire Bible and to get to know God more and to spend more time with Him.
Awesome. That's a great way to do it. We know it's worth it just to hear that, just to hear one person say it, it's worth the whole trip. Anybody else? Alicia.
Something that I've really struggled with, honestly, probably all my life, has been praying in front of other people and praying for a group of people. It kind of stresses me out. I feel like all the attention's on me and I'm going to say something wrong. And I was really focusing on that this weekend, especially Saturday morning. I had a goal that I was going to pray for my small group. But Saturday morning, I was kind of doubting myself and thinking, you know, maybe I should just wait till I'm ready. I shouldn't, you know, push anything. And then Saturday night, it kind of hit me like, if I can't do this, if I can't make myself uncomfortable for God, you know, what does that say about my faith and my relationship with God? So I pushed myself and I volunteered to pray. And when I was praying, God spoke to me. And I honestly felt like He was right there and He was just giving me the words to say. And it's just amazing, like, when you put yourself in a situation that you think you can't do, when you push yourself for God, it's just amazing all the things you'll get out of it. And if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have gotten the same experience I had out of this retreat. So that was really important to me.
Awesome. Thank you. That's encouraging. That's awesome to think. We oftentimes have convictions, and we see God calling us to something. And when we pray, God, give us the strength to do that. When we step out in faith, and God always has that blessing, that strength, just on the other side of it. So that's awesome to hear. Sean, come on up.
Over this weekend, I kind of experienced two things. One was during our devotion time, focusing on the Word of God, and like some questions that came easy, and others were they were hard to find an answer. The second experience was that there was this weekend was there was so much love that it was everywhere. You felt it when you woke up. You felt it in the morning, afternoon, evening when you went to bed. And it's just like we were talking Wednesday night how we are a kingdom of God, and that weekend we were a kingdom of God, and it was just so much love. It's hard to put in words, and that is just an incredible experience to feel. And it the atmosphere of it was just amazing.
Thanks, Sean. You guys understand what he's trying to say. It's difficult to explain what it feels like to be a body and to be connected and feel loved like that. As you heard Monica in the video there earlier, I was telling her when we were dating just how awesome my church was and how connected I felt and how just what a family it was and a body it was. And until you go and you experience it, you know, you can say it all you want, but until you experience that and you feel that, that makes all the difference in the world. So that's what Sean was saying, I think. So thanks for that. We probably have time for one or two more. Shaylee, and then let's get you in, Jonathan. Come on, Shaylee. And Shaylee, I think you were our youngest contestant of Winter Retreat, right? Was there anybody, nobody younger? So this is difficult for her. So you may hold this, or you want me to just talk?
Here at church before I went to the winter retreat, the past month, whenever Bill was talking, I couldn't relate like I usually could. So I read the Bible. And then when we went to the winter retreat, after our first small group, I felt like I felt him there, and with every step I took, I kind of felt him step with me. With every meal I ate, I felt him eat with me, and with every game of Gaga Ball I played, I felt him watching. So, and then when I got back, I kind of felt like, except for spiritually, I kind of felt like whenever you get really dirty and then you come inside and take a nice hot shower. Yeah. And then, so I just wanted to thank everybody who went with me and everybody who was there.
Thank you, Shay.
I just want to say something real quick. Oh, my gosh. I was sitting next to Shaylee on the last night, which if you've never been before, the last night is like the super emotional night where everyone, you know, just begins to reflect on what they've learned for the weekend. And Shaylee, she was just very quiet. She's a quiet girl. And she leaned over to me, and she said, this is beautiful. And she said, I've never felt the presence of God like I feel right now. So I just want you all to understand that we talk about the fun things we do, but it is truly a time when God speaks to these children.
Speaks to all of us. Thank you. Thank you for being bold in that. Guys, I have to give Jonathan some encouragement, too. He struggles with this.
He's not wrong. I'm going to look up. But Yeah, this week was very interesting. It's not like any other week of winter retreat I've been on. I mean, when we got up there, I realized Tony wasn't going to be there because my dad told me, hey, you know Tony's not going to be here this year. I'm like, oh, no, this could be terrible. But the day before, yeah, well, I love you too, but you know. But that, before we went up there, I was not in the right place, really. Like, I didn't feel good already. I was just really kind of just one of those moods. And I feel like as we went, it just sort of got worse in a way, to be honest with you. Like, I try not to be negative around anybody. And I do complain. I mean, my family would know. But when I do complain, I don't try to do it out in public in front of people because, I mean, they don't deserve to hear it. I mean, and then my family's like, well, why do you do it to us? But but that's one of the things I really, really hated about this week. That instead of God having the hold on me like he normally does at a camp, because it is a spiritual high. But this week, Satan really, I wouldn't say he had, like, was on the only thing on my mind, but he had me. He was holding on to me really, really well. And it just, as we went the first night, I had Monica's group, and at first, I was like, oh, no, this is not going to go well. But it turned out I really did enjoy having Monica's group because, you know, I got to hear a lot of things from a lot of the girls that I would have never thought I'd have been able to been told. But I listened to Bill's messages, and I loved what he said, but I really didn't click. And that was one of the reasons what that was, because he did have me. Satan did have me. Like, my heart was not open just to listen. There were so many problems. Because, I mean, behind the scenes, there was, like, issues like what Jacob said, and then computer sound crap went wrong. But, I mean, what's sad is all that doesn't really matter. But at the time, it did, because it was bothering me. In the week, like, when Monica and Drew would ask questions, of course I had an answer. But it wasn't a thoughtful answer. Because I have a relationship with God, I have stuff that I know already. And those answers weren't exactly bad, but because I had those answers, those are the ones I told them. But then that last night, like they said, when everybody was speaking and the worship was going on, you know, I guess there was a couple of issues, but finally, I just said, you know what? I'm tired of this. This is not about you, Satan. This is God's week. And, I just finally said, you know what, you got to go. And so he did go. And my eyes were open up to something that I did not think I was going to see this week, that I didn't see in other weeks. I saw more of the younger kids open up, and I mean, it just hit me. I'm like, wow, look at me. I'm being selfish right here. And these guys are sharing stuff from their heart that when I looked at them, I didn't see. I'm like, oh, they're just kids. They're playing, you know, because it's their first year, but it just hit me, and I'm like, I can't believe I was thinking like that. It made me feel so bad. And then Jonathan came up, and then I just said, I really wasn't feeling it this week, guys. The love, I didn't feel it. Like, I know I'm loved, but I didn't feel it. And then worship finally just kind of revealed everything, and I felt so relieved. Like, God was right there with me. He was right there next to me. And then I just broke down. But then my dad told me, hey, turn around, look at all this. And there was probably a good 15 people all around me hugging me, and I'm like, wow. And I just feel like this, from this week, because at the moment my heart has been really well. Like, I feel like I'm in a really good spiritual stand with my faith and stuff. Because, I mean, I like Jonathan's example on Wednesday night. He did some stuff with some tennis balls and said, it won't fit unless you put God first. And that's exactly right. And I have. And I've learned that I'm growing so much more with him through people and just the way I interact with people. So that's kind of what I learned this week.
Jonathan has such a heart for serving. Every year on a winter retreat, he goes and he's behind the scenes. He likes to click the PowerPoints and slides and things like that. And he has such a heart to serve. And a lot of times we can get caught up in serving that we're numb to the gospel. And that's cool to see that worship is an avenue to cut through and reach that heart. So.
Well, let's give a hand clap to God for the things he does. And I just want to kind of point out one or two things that I saw as I listened. You know, we talk about being close to God and stuff like this, but, you know, the fact is we're nowhere near what God wants us to be. I mean, I'm more like Christ now than I was 40 years ago, but I'm more like me than I am Christ right now. It takes a long time, and when God speaks to us, when he's really speaking to us, it always pulls us to change. And it's like what Jonathan was saying right in here. You know, when God started speaking to him, he started saying, your attitude's not good. And he confessed that sin before everyone, that his attitude was keeping him from where God wanted to be. Well, that's a first step to getting where God wants us to be, because we have to admit that he's not going to change. We have to change to become what he wants us to be. And I think you heard that theme of people saying they felt God calling them to let go of worldly things, let go of where they're at, step out to where he wants you to be. And those are the kind of testimonies that are talking about God speaking to you. And when he speaks to you, he's always calling you to change, to become more like Christ. And when we grow, we become more like Christ. And it has tremendous benefits. Jacob was up here, and he's having a hard time because most of you who've been here a long time know how close that group is. They were brothers in Christ. They're not friends. And you know that at the center of their relationship is the desire for them as partners to advance the kingdom of God. You don't see that in 16, 17, 18-year-old boys. I mean, they're more like people who've been to war together. They love one another. And Isaac's off at college, and he's got studies now that are, you know, pretty intense. And Michael's up at Nashville. And you've just got, now Jacob Bartlett left that Monday. We left winter retreat Monday morning. Monday afternoon, he left to go to Nashville. And so Jacob feels a little of that pull, what God has done and for, you know, years in his life and bound him together with a true family. He knows what it means to be in the family of God. And now all of a sudden, he's moving to a new phase. And that's a little scary, but you know, in each one of our lives, isn't that the pattern of what God does? I mean, it's not like he's lost his friends. He's lost his brothers. They're all close. But God uses us. He equips us. He loves us. And then he moves us on to share that and recreate that in others. And sometimes that's a little scary, but you know, God's got that same love with other people for you. And I think that's what he was saying when he could see it in these kids. And sometimes it's easy to look and say, well, they're so young. I don't know if they could ever have that kind of commitment, that kind of, you know, whatever. But it's in there. It's in there. And that's really cool. So I'm going to let the kids go back here to worship. We're going to close with a worship song. I'll let the band come back up. And we're going to pray. Father, it is amazing for us to see the fire of your life-giving spirit inside even an 11-year-old, and to realize that you are alive and speaking and have a relationship that's personal, that's real, that's life-changing with each one of us. And Father, we want to follow after that. We want to love you like you loved us. And when we see how much you care about us and what you did when you suffered and died on that cross, and we see what we were worth to you, what you were willing to go through, our hearts are inspired to respond to that love. And Father, we want your love shown to us in Christ to be worth more to us than this world. It's worth our obedience. It's worth our time. And it's worth us living for you. And we know there is no real life outside of your love. And the closer we draw to you, the more our lives are submitted and aligned with you and your great purposes, the more we experience that. And so we just ask you, Father, to take our whole hearts and to make us more and more like Christ, who lived for your will on this earth completely. And so we thank you for who you are and what you have done, and we thank you for what we see you doing in the hearts of the next generation. And may they be bolder and more obedient and more submitted and more able to see your mighty hand work than we. And we thank you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.